My passion is the fight for freedom.
Brother, can you hear me?
My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. Get some lights going on here in the studio. All right, there we go. There we go. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, bottom of hour number two, Dr. David Wormser will be back with us live from Tel Aviv. We'll get an update from him on what's taking place over there. And if you've been following us, you know Saturday we had him on for 2.5 hours. And at the very end, as I was praying for them, he had to run down to the bomb shelter as the sirens went off. We had him on Monday for 1.5 hours as well. I've been following things over there quite closely. And we'll give you an update on what's going on, excuse me, with regards to that. Richard C. Lyons joins us at the bottom of the hour with a... history model on Bourne's on Biden's foreign policy and its failures. And then Chris Gates will be with us as well today. We'll talk about the Speaker of the House situation, what's going on with that. There's rumblings about Steve Scalise, but there's also conversation that he may not get the floor vote. And a lot of folks were pushing for Jim Jordan. So we'll see where that goes. I'm glad Matt Gaetz moved McCarthy out. I'm just not exactly positive that I'm confident in what I see is what they're putting forward is the answer. All right, let me bring up somebody that may have some answers for us. I want to bring up my next guest, and let me welcome Kaylin Dorn to the program. Kaylin, welcome. Great to have you back. It's been a little too long.
It's been ages, brother, but it's good to see you're still out here, you know, fighting the good fight and speaking truth to power, doing all the things everyone, providing a blueprint for people to go out there and change their communities, man. How you been? You been doing all right?
Doing okay. You know, it's when you get in a fight with a truck, you know, it's kind of a long road to recovery, but I'm punching through, man. I'm punching through, and that's what we need to do. That's what we got to do right now, man. It's like we're up against that truck, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. This is it's like the convalescence of like 30 different problems all happening at one time. So it's been a very interesting, you know, 72 hours to a week here of news. You got your action going on in Israel. We got our speakers battle. What's good is it means that there's never nothing to talk about, which I think is a very, very crude silver lining and a very real situation we got going on.
Well, unless you're on, you know, particular social media platforms where you're not allowed, have you been surprised by, I know I didn't, we didn't talk about this, but we're talking about free speech. Have you been surprised by kind of the lack of liberty on X? I mean that with all due respect to what I think Elon was trying to accomplish, but it feels to me, I mean, I'm on kind of as a subheading. But my main account has still never been put back up, and the last time I corresponded with them, which is about 6 months ago, they said you're permanently banned and you can't make any more requests. We will not accept any more appeals from you.
That's interesting. I think. Look, I get what he was trying to do, and I warned people, if you remember, I was pretty adamant that we should not put all of our eggs in the Elon Musk basket. The guy's kind of the king of trolls. He's, you know, smarter than everyone else, I mean, and he lets you know it. So that's not someone you ever want to cast your lot in with. But, you know, I think what really upsets me about it, and upsets is maybe even a strong word, but what upsets me about it is that haven't really been many like tangible improvements to the app, right? There's no tangible improvement to the transparency, for instance. I know that I'm shadow banned. I haven't gained more than 200 followers in years ever since losing almost 50,000. So like, I know that you know that no one's seeing my account, but I can't check on that. It's a feature he promised. You know, I think people would be more likely to accept the fact that the quality of life hasn't really improved if they knew why, or if there's more kind of transparency into what's going on behind the scenes. I think that's what's most upsetting to me, at least.
Well, because the whole you know splash is hey, I'm cleaning house, you know, I'm cleaning house and I'm going to make sure that you know everything's on the up and up, and he did. I mean, he fired a lot of people. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, one of the new people that he put in charge is one of the worst offenders, from what I could see from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a series of baffling kind of personnel moves as well. It's interesting because normally, like, you build a company like this to sell. Like, you build a sell or you build for, you know, you're exiting the platform, right? And he's not doing either of those things. It's just the platform just kind of like existing. He's having fun with it. I mean, it's just interesting when you're doing work with the most rich guy on the planet, It's interesting to try and gauge his motivations and predict and see around corners. He like streamed video games the other night, which is cool. That's great. But, you know, I think for a lot of free speech loving folks who are ultimately his base, it's kind of a letdown. The whole thing's maybe let me down a little bit.
You have been an advocate and a fighter for free speech. You've put your time, your energy, your money, your everything, into that arena. Talk now, you've been for quite some time now. How long have you been fighting on platform, arguing on behalf of free speech?
Yeah, so after 2020, when we saw what happened, not only after January 6th, but with the Hunter Biden laptop and so on and so forth, my good friend Jason Miller, who's an advisor of President Trump, and I, we launched Getter. And from then, you know, it's kind of been the travel and road show. I'm going everywhere, speak to everyone and their mother, talking about free speech. And then now, I've ended up working with the guys over at Tusk Browser, which is a great product if you're watching or listening here. It's a wonderful product that replaces Google. Essentially, it allows you to sort your news results, all your results by left, right, or center, which is great because I think ultimately freedom of speech revolves around us getting back to that marketplace of ideas that once made our country great, right? Like it used to be, you and I could come here and we could argue about a topic. And leave without calling each other racist or without calling each other bigots. Sure. Or we would have competing ideas. We'd leave with a better idea, and that's what made us great. Now, we don't really do that, man. We just call each other names, and we block each other on the internet, and like that's we call that a win for free speech today, and it's not how it works. So it's been a good 4 or 5 years of us just kind of traveling the country and trying to make a difference, traveling the world and trying to make a difference. And what's crazy is, and what we saw, especially with Getter, I was traveling to places like Japan or the UK and Brazil, like these problems that we see here in this country exist there too. This is a global phenomenon. And if you're mad about like kind of what a nerd in a hoodie says you can or can't do here in this country, imagine if that guy didn't even live in the same country as you. That would be infuriating. I'd be so PO'd. Like I wouldn't know what to do with myself. So that's kind of been the fight for a good 4 or 5 years now.
There's several things that just flood into my mind as we're having this conversation. One of the critiques, I guess, that people make of the social media is the ability for people to be able to make, fake accounts and then to be able to use those accounts as a bully pulpit, right? To go onto people's pages and harass them and say things that they would never dare to say to them, perhaps in person. Where's that line in the free speech battle?
Yeah, I mean, you've always got a right to free speech, but you don't necessarily always have a right to be, an a-hole in a lot of senses, right? The way we did this at Getter was basically, my personal barometer was, is this something I would want someone to say to my mother, like in the grocery store? Is this something I would say out loud? Things like that. There are various criteria because ultimately, you've got to just make sure people are being safe. And so that's kind of where we drew the line there. And I think that's pretty important. I think you should be able to say whatever you want. You have the right to say whatever you want. You don't have the right to kind of threaten someone's well-being or threaten violence. Things like that. You have the right to be. You have the right to all these things. You don't have the right to be, an a-hole, for lack of a better phrase.
I'm glad you bring up the violence piece of this because I posted on my Facebook page. I'm very concerned. We have people that are protesting on behalf of Palestine, but in light of the intelligence reports that are coming out and the information that is out there relative to that, the open border situation that we have, knowing that we have terrorists on the ground here, and I believe what took place in Israel was a terrorist attack. Hamas has declared itself a terrorist attack. Up until recently, members of the Arab nations considered Hamas to be a terrorist organization. Many of them did. That being said, how far does that free speech go when you have people in your streets that are a part of an organization or a group that's been yelling death to America? Where's that, you know what I'm saying? Where's that line? Because, you know, we've watched this. This isn't made up. These are the kinds of people that'll strap on, you know, a bomb vest and mix themselves into that crowd and have done this around the world and then detonate.
Yeah, well, I think as far as your free speech online goes, you know, what I do like that we're seeing, you know, for better or for worse, and I've had to shut Twitter or X down a few times this week, has been we're actually seeing, like, footage of the conflict, which is pretty, you know, impressive. I don't know that I've seen any footage of what's going on in Ukraine, and I struggle to remember, like, where we were at with Elon Musk when that kind of started going down. But I am glad that they're improving their policies. I think that's actually a very interesting point that we haven't seen any footage of that war. It's just supposedly awful, but like we're seeing a lot of this and way too much of this, in my opinion. I got to be able to throw a filter on. Like, I'm scrolling, I'm looking at, like, you know, basketball news, and like, oh my God, there's like six dead bodies. Like, it's getting pretty aggressive. But
yeah,
what I'll say is, you know, I'm almost glad that that's a problem we're having, and that, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that's not something we would see.
Right.
We'd be seeing none of it. We'd be being told from, you know, government officials, hey, you know, this is a thing that's happening, and trust us, it's really bad, and like, we're going to handle it, but don't worry about that. You know, I'm glad we don't have to rely on that anymore in a lot of ways. So I think your free speech online, I think they're doing a really good job so far of like threading the needle of what's okay and what's not. Community notes has been pretty great. I did see that they got Don Jr. on some fake stuff yesterday, but the community has been really good at pushing back on that and actually correcting a lot of headlines and some notes. So that's been really good. But yeah, I mean, I don't see like them going into, you know, crowded rooms with bomb vests on as being kind of a free speech issue. That's more of a security issue. These guys got to get their act together. You know, I understand. And I fully support, you know, whatever Israel does to these guys, you know, 1,000%. But also, like, got to ask yourselves how this happened, mm-hmm. how they got away with it. And you got to tighten that up, man, because you know, you can't have guys paragliding into events and showing you up, right? I mean, that's just like, it's unacceptable if that happened here. You know, there'd be some pretty, pretty harsh blowback as well. So, that's a very long-winded way of answering your question.
It's a thorough, I mean, it's a thorough, you know, conversation about it. And I think that's so important. And I'm concerned, you know, honestly, you know, knowing being down here in Texas and having, you know, been very involved in speaking with people, like the Texas Border Volunteers. I mean, back 10 years ago, I had them on my show every single week. And I've been, you know, tracking Victor Avila and Tom Homan and Mark Morgan and Brandon Darby when he was with Breitbart. I mean, we've you know, really talked a lot about the porous border. And I have to be honest with you, Kaylin, I'm very concerned about, you know, where things are at. And I know personally from Tea Party and different group meetings that I was involved in 7-8 years ago, we had ladies that infiltrated mosques in San Antonio. And there is a compound in San Antonio that looks like Beirut. It has concrete buildings surrounding two mosques. And if you go down into those mosques, it looks pretty much like Weapon Central to me, at least from what I've been told.
This is the result. This is a fear that we have to live with because we've got vacancy in leadership. There's no one there in the White House defending us, defending our honor, defending our borders.
Right.
And without borders, we aren't a country. Like, this is just a loose affiliation of, you know, goobers doing business. Like, we have no business being here if we don't have a border. And you know, you have to think about some of the motivations. I know I'm no foreign policy expert, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, and I can tell you, right, that You know, the Hamas isn't doing this on their own, man. Like, Iran's telling them where to go. This intelligence they're getting is very sophisticated. You know, Russia's telling them where to go. These guys are enemies of ours. You know, no matter what the cadaver in chief says, there is probably a very high likelihood that they've infiltrated our border in vast numbers. Yeah. So everyone, you know, I just encourage you to keep your head on a swivel and make sure, you know, operation security is very important, and that you're, you know, keeping your carrying if you can, and you're making sure you're squared away, because it could save lives at the end of the day. I mean, we are at war. We are a part of this war. Yeah. Even if, you know, right now, and I think the appropriate action is to kind of not be a restraining force on the Israelis. I think that's good. We've kind of historically mm-hmm. been a little bit of a restrainer mm-hmm. on them. Look, if we throw our hands up, there's no telling what they can do. They're sophisticated. And, you know, to take it back, because I know a lot of the pushback you probably get to, Greg, is, you know, oh, like, as an American first conservative, you know, you've been saying no more wars, no more wars.
Oh yeah, you get called a neocon. Oh, you're a neocon. Oh, if you're in favor, oh, you're a neocon. You know, I'll right. just real quickly to add this to what you're saying, and then I'll let you continue. So yeah. So Jack Posobiec put a thing up, Human Events, you know, talking about how we may be advisors over there, and then he, you know, he made some other remarks, and I just tweeted back to him, and I'm like, so it was Jerusalem Times. Oh, 4 out of 5 Israelites or Jews believe that the problem is Netanyahu and the government. Well, Jerusalem Times is the WAPO of Israel, and anybody who follows media knows it, and Jack should know that. So to repost something that Jerusalem Times put up by Jack is horrific, but he's really big about pushing the neocon thing. And you know, there was a time, I'm 61 years old, there was a time when you traveled around the world as an American, and you traveled with no fear. Because it didn't matter whether they were terrorists or who they were or a street thug. If they knew you were an American, it was hands off, because they knew that America would reach out and touch you. Carter nearly destroyed that. Reagan restored that. Even Clinton respected that. Obama threw it away. Bush, more or less, kept it thrown away. Trump tried to bring it back, and Biden has thrown it away once again. We have Americans that were killed by Hamas in Israel on Saturday. We have Americans that are being held in Gaza right now. And if Reagan was the president, you can be damn sure it would have been over on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, same with Trump, right? They would have dropped the Moab on those fools, but instead we're playing a song and dance. I think I saw somewhere we're like sending American hostage negotiators over there. Like, the whole response is so lackluster. But, you know, back to the point I was making about, yeah, you know, the neocon argument, how you kind of balance those two things. Because I struggled with that, you know, initially. I was like, well, shoot, I'm an army brat, and the last thing I want is to see more people go over there and, you know, spend time, you know, perpetuating an endless war. You know, this is like an ideological battle for them too. This is a holy battle for them. That's something we also forget. Like, the conviction with which they carry out these actions is evil. Is not something we, I think, as Americans have ever seen. It's right. Not something we're engaged with on a daily basis. So it's hard to wrap our heads around. But as you kind of try, and you know, this is what I tell your folks, you know, as you're trying to like delineate between, you know, being an American first conservative and getting involved here, it's more so that like working with Israel is like, is mutually beneficial. It's different from like Ukraine, and that we're just like shipping pallets of cash to the Ukraine for seemingly no reason, for war I'm not sure exists. Like, I haven't seen footage of.
I have to say that I'm probably one of the few people you'll talk to that I'm going to put my hand back down. This Zoom's decided to AI itself. Anyway, but I actually interviewed or brought on a gentleman who was in a hospital in Ukraine, and we interviewed wounded Ukrainian soldiers. Just as an FYI.
I'm just saying that.
But you're right. I haven't seen much of that. I mean, we have not seen very much. But I did get a chance to actually have a Ukrainian soldier who had been on the front line since this thing started, who was wounded, who gave us kind of his view of what's going on. And the sad part in this is there's no question that there's graft over there. There's no question that there's corruption over there. There's been corruption over there. We know Biden was deeply involved in corruption over there with Burisma and the passing of oil money and the use of oil money to fund ISIS, which the Obama administration was doing. They were funding ISIS. They were providing weapons for ISIS while claiming that they were, opposed. I mean, yeah. Anyway, that we could spend an hour on that at least.
Right, but I think, like you're saying, I know there's. I'm just being kind of.
No. You're not. This is free speech. This is you and I, two friends being able to have a conversation, right? And I completely respect what you're saying, and I get it, and I understand those that are saying, hey, what are we, how much should we be engaged in this? What should we do with relationship to this? And how long do we let this thing, drag on? Where do we stand? And I think it's a very complicated question, but I agree with you. There's a difference between Ukraine and Israel, big difference in my opinion, and I think we both agree on that.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, like, we use a lot of their defense systems technologies. I think that in some way, shape, or form, we like own part of the Iron Dome, right? We're just sending them like missiles to fire off. Like, all this is really mutually beneficial. Whereas, we ship countless dollars to the Ukraine, and like, I don't know that we've gotten anything for it other than.
Right.
They've taken some of our actors now. Like, they've taken Ben Stiller, which is so good. Like, they should keep some of them before he makes a Zoolander sequel no one asked for. But that's it. And I think, like, we've got to think through. There's a lot of infighting because this is happening in an election year, and everyone's trying to, outdo one another for some reason, and just know that, like, there are, like, tangible reasons for doing this that make sense, as opposed to, anything else. So when you get called a neocon or whatever, like, there are some rational arguments to make in return.
Amen. I completely agree. And I think that if, one of the reasons we're in the position we're in so many of these situations is because America has put its head back in the sand once again. And Obama destroyed our foreign policy, and Trump restored the luster of America, I believe, in many respects. But I also know from a friend of mine who was a Trump appointee in the State Department who got fired once they discovered that he was a Trump appointee, that from Rex Tillerson on, Michael Pompeo, he was, more or less on Trump's team. I think he was the only one. He understood what Trump was trying to accomplish, and I think that he carried out those orders. But my friend was in a room where the department head stood at the table and said, any orders from the White House that you receive, you will ignore. We are not taking direction from the White House in this State Department.
Yeah, no, I don't know that you know this, but I actually worked. I was the director of cabinet communications at the White House for quite a bit. So I was kind of the guy, the liaison, working with the communications professionals in those different departments. And it was a mess, man. It's like every day is a fight. But what you got to remember is there's good people like the appointees that you mentioned that are fighting against decades and decades of, entrenched bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It's just truly unbelievable. And I think that needs to be like the number one thing that anyone who gets elected in 2024 does. So you need to go in there and just destroy.
Clean house.
Exactly. There are some things Trump implemented towards the end of the administration that were immediately repealed.
Right.
The with Schedule Fs that, you know, they can go ahead and get rid of these guys on day one or day two.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter Navarro and I had a conversation about that, that, you know, one of the biggest issues that, you know, he's awesome. One of the biggest issues that President Trump had was all the people in the circle that really weren't a part of his circle, that weren't with him. And they were undermining him at every turn. And that's, we're going to have to jump off here. But that's one of the reasons why I tell people, yes, term limits, great, okay. But changing the name on the door doesn't change the system. And if you don't tear down the system, eliminate the staff, literally clean house, all you're doing is changing the name on the door. And I promise you'll never see a change until we get the system back under the control of we the people.
Amen. No, I agree 100%.
Kalen, thanks for being here today. Tusk Browser, by the way, we want to make sure. Tusk Browser, be sure. What's the best way to download that browser?
Yeah, just go to tuskbrowser.com, check it out. You know, I love it. It's a for the people, by the people product. So feel free to, you know, donate to the product as well. Keep development going. And we got some big things in store, brother. I look forward to being back.
Awesome. I look forward to it as well. Kalen, great to see you again. God bless you, man.
God bless you. Take care, okay?
All right, thanks. All right, we're going to take our break. We come back. Richard C. Lyons will be with us. We'll get into some history regarding the Biden policies and what how they have led to this Israeli invasion. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country.
Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. So glad to have you with me, and I'm so pleased to have my next guest with me. You know, we are in my most humble opinion, in historic times. We can talk about the moral decline of our nation, which there's no question about, and all of those things, and across so many of our Western nations and Western countries. But at the end of the day, there is a peril that is afoot that is very real, and we watched its evil and its ugliness on Saturday. And we'll have more updates from my friend Dr. David Wormser live from Tel Aviv coming up next hour. I'm very pleased to welcome to the program historian Richard C. Lyons. Richard, welcome. Good to have you. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm very grateful to have you here.
Oh, very glad to be here, Greg. Thank you for the work you do.
Well, I appreciate the work that you're doing as well. You know, early on, right, you know, back 2008, 2009, you know, when the Tea Party movement sort of kind of got going, you know, it was initially about trying to educate people, trying to wake people up and so on. And I remember, you know, 4 years into the Obama administration, sitting down with guys that had been hammering at it for 4 years and them saying, you know, I'm tired of education. I want action. I want, and, you know, the more you get into this, the more you realize we're trying to unwind 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Generations of indoctrination. If you're under the age of, at this point, even 55, I mean, my friend George Barna does his research, you know, and it's just, it's mind-blowing how indoctrinated people are. As a historian, when you're trying to explain real history to people, how difficult is it to get them to look at and not go, oh, that's not history, that's conspiracy. I mean,
that's a great question. And you're right about the timeline. The timeline actually goes back 100 years when Woodrow Wilson introduced the seed of socialism when in America, through his philosophy, his presidency, and the creation of the administrative state. But it metastasized when Lyndon Johnson created the Great Society and government took over local education. Previous to that, it had been a local matter, that the parents decided what their children were going to learn. And most of that learning was patriotic. You want your children to believe in your country. It's why we had our greatest generation, Greg, that generation that fought in World War II. Was just unexampled, I think, in human history, the virtues and the valor of that great generation. And right after that, of course, they gave birth to an opposition generation that wanted to tear it all down.
I'm glad you let me toss in a question to you regarding that, because, you know, we see things like Band of Brothers and you know, which I think, you know, I think was a great film. But one of the things that bothers me about a lot of the stuff that is put out is the idea that, oh, the American soldiers were drunkards and whoremongers. And essentially really had no more, you know, I mean, there was a little bit of, you know, good guy thing, but for the most part, they were just a bunch of bums and a bunch of, you know, heathens.
I can testify to this personally, Greg. My uncle died on Iwo Jima, and he sent letters home as he got he was a lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and all of his letters were full of God.
Why are we allowing them I would suggest that it's kind of in a subtle way, but it's really the way that Marxists rewrite history, right?
Yes, and they're doing so at a fever pitch.
So
and
when
I think it's why you saw the demonstrations at Yale, Harvard, Columbia, Northwestern. The actually socialism has a lot that's akin to this universalist jihad, where they don't believe anybody else has a right to say a word or think their own thoughts. There's a lot in common there.
So,
socialism is a form of tyranny. So is universal jihad.
How important then is the message of faith in pushing back against it, and how significant to the Marxists and the socialists is the destruction or deconstruction of that faith concept?
Well, that is really the story behind two books I wrote, The DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis. It began with the Jews. The tyranny of the Pharaoh was what they lived under in slavery. When they were given the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are God's presence on earth. That is common law under which kings and peasants all live, right? Everybody lives under a common law. Mm-hmm. That's what began civilization's rise, the idea of common law, as well as constitutions of government wherein citizens are all equal, like with the Greek, the Athenian constitution.
Okay.
And then representative government in Rome, which was government through representation. So these are all detailed in my work. And what socialists are trying to do now is to state that the administrative state knows better than we do.
Sure.
That we do not need representation. They are our representatives. And if you have a demagogue in the presidency ruling 435 administrative agencies at his whim, with his pen and with his phone, you remember what Obama said?
Absolutely.
I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to make a speech. You don't have to agree with me. I can do whatever I want with a pen and a phone. He was very serious about that. I think he's still doing it.
I agree. I don't think he ever stopped. I think he was the one who was behind the undermining of President Trump's presidency for those 4 years. I mean, think about it. He moved, six blocks down the road and then set up a cabinet and moved Jared into his house. They were running a shadow government the entire time that President Trump was in the White House.
If you look at the activities, and again, detailed in Shadows of the Acropolis, the activities of the agencies against Trump, they weren't. If you look at the Biden events, right, they're trying to hide all the evidence.
Yeah.
In Trump's case, they manufactured it.
Yep.
In the Biden case, they're squashing any leaks. They're going after leakers and whistleblowers with the FBI. In the Trump case, the FBI was leaking material to the media in order to frame it.
Made up material, by the way. Not even truth. Manufactured. Like what they did with their FISA warrants. All manufactured. All a Steele dossier. Completely and totally made up.
You're a pastor. Complete BS.
Oh, no. It's crap. Well, you know, Sam Faddis, former CIA, came on my program, was talking about, and in his estimation, they committed a coup against the United States. John Brennan, Comer, McCabe. I mean, every single one of them is guilty of committing a coup. Obama himself, they're all guilty of committing a coup. That's treason.
The reason it didn't succeed is because Trump has fortitude and his convictions. And, Greg, if everybody wants to know how innocent Trump is, more money was spent investigating that man since then and now, investigating him for wrongful doing, and he's been found innocent every time.
So, well, even now you've got a judge that, I mean even an average American knows that the assessed value of your home and the market value that you can sell your home for are two different numbers, and you better hope to God that they're two different numbers, because if you were actually paying 100% of the market value, the average American couldn't afford to own a home.
Who can afford it anyway?
Well, nowadays, absolutely. You're right. You're right.
The assessor is one person. The marketplace is everybody.
That's right.
Listen to the marketplace. It's really simple. But people in the administrative state forget that. They think they know everything. And they think through certain judges they can create anything they want to create. The misperceptions.
The Chevron doctrine practically gives them the green light to do it. I'm very hopeful that the Supreme Court, when they get that argument here in the next 30 days or so, Clarence Thomas and Alito have given every indication they're gonna take that thing down. If they can survive all of the assault on them that's happening right now.
Yeah, now that is detailed in Shadows of the Acropolis again, the Supreme Court under FDR changed from being a court that defends the Constitution to being a court that rewrites it in favor of an administrative state, being a new legislature.
Yeah.
A legislature beyond the people's redress, beyond the people's ability to vote and change. That was occurring from the end of FDR's tenure, and again metastasized under Lyndon Johnson.
I want to just take a second to go back to what you shared about your uncle and say how much I appreciate you sharing that, and how much I honor his memory and what he did and what he represents as to the American legacy. I was a Cold War veteran myself, so people don't realize the honor that was associated in those times with being a soldier in the United States military. And I believe today too, unfortunately, we've watched administrations like the Clintons and the Obamas destroy the character of our military in horrific ways.
Well, and when you talk about it's just they're in every part of our society now. Government is in this sickness, which is they're discrediting the greatest idea for human freedom that ever was. And the military, that's what the military fought for in World War II. They have become the enemy that we fought in World War II, Greg, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Italy was a socialist nation. Germany was a socialist nation. Japan was a tyranny of an empire. And they now want to recreate those things in America. So what we won on the battlefield, we're not losing at home.
Which falls in line, right, with what the Russian premier said to us back in the 60s, right? Was it Khrushchev who said, you know, we're going to, am I right with wasn't he the one that said we're going to take your country out, take out America without firing a shot?
No. Well, they're getting the far away.
You know, the 45 goals of the Communist Party. I mean, all you need to do is run down that list, and more or less they've done, you know, they've been doing it, and they've done the majority of it. So I guess the question then is as you're sharing real history, Richard, are you seeing young people's like light bulbs go off? Are they like going, wow? Is there, are we having some aha moments, do you think?
Well, I think as soon as they're introduced to the reality it's really simple, Greg. Tyranny, which takes every one of your liberties away.
Right.
Your right to think, your right to have a business that's your own, to do what you want to do, own your own property, all these things. And then liberty, which is a voluntary lifestyle. You choose where to live. You choose where to work. You choose your faith. You choose your school. I mean, how simple is this? One system, you choose nothing. You are told what to do as by an administrative state, by their will and their force. On the other side, you do whatever you want to do. What's the funniest thing and what's the greatest irony in history, Greg, was that the 60s generation demanded that government get the hell out of their lives. And it's that generation that has created a government that's in everybody's life, not just a little, but everywhere. Well, everywhere you sure. turn.
Sure.
They're making decisions about your life. And if you dare to say anything about it, good luck to you.
As we talk about this this liberty issue, one of the things that I've come to very strongly believe is that our founders didn't necessarily embrace John Locke's vision of that. And here's what I mean by that. In Locke's vision, you had two hands, the hand of God, the hand of man. And they both were holding out basically your rights, your life, your liberty, all of those things. And you had man saying, you can choose me and I'm going to decide those things, or you can choose God. I believe that our founders actually, when they said inalienable rights, what they meant was, is not that God was holding it out, but that he literally intertwined it in our DNA. It's who we are, not what he's giving us. It's literally our personage. We are life. We are liberty. We are those things because God made us that way. And I think that there is a difference then in your willingness to say, I will pledge my life. I will pledge I'll pledge everything because there, I don't, what choice would I have if I believe that those things are who I am and that your desire to take those things from me is literally going to draw my life breath out of me?
Yeah. Well, who are you if everything you do in your life is dictated? I mean, who
you're
really
not,
are you?
You're nothing.
You are defined by your freedom of action. And I think that is an inherent right God given to all persons on earth. Now, when you look at the jihadists, they believe that they carry God in a different way, that they can dictate to you what your choices are, right? Or suffer the penalty of death. So, and that, how akin is that to socialism, where they say, look, if you don't believe the way we believe, you're, how did Hillary put it? You're deplorable, right? You need to be deprogrammed, according to Chairman Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's really sickening, but that's who these folks have become.
So how does, we got about 7 minutes left, how does this all relate to what we have seen take place in Israel? What's the connection that you see with because these are the policies of this administration. These have been the policies for 100 years that we've been fighting. But how does this relate to the invasion that's taking place and the assault on Israel?
Well, I wrote another work, Greg, called "The By the Chance of War," and it actually has a prophetic part. Part four is set in Israel in the modern day, and it's prophetic, but it's it's about appeasement. Right.
Okay.
When you appease enemies, they will cut your throat. There is just never been an instant in history where appeasement has ever worked. As Winston Churchill said, the appeasers feed the alligator in hoping that they will be eaten last. Right.
Yeah. How do you negotiate when your head's in the mouth of the lion? Right.
Exactly right. And why? What is the attraction with Iran? What is the attraction? They're a third rate country, right? This is the turning point right now for the Democratic Party. Are they going to embrace the Abraham Accords and isolate Iran and then take such sanctions against them that they are nothing? That their economy is nothing, that they can't afford a squirt gun, let alone a nuclear bomb.
Right.
Right. embrace that? Or are they going to go back, as I think this administration is doing, because they have not even mentioned Iran? The word Iran is a single mouth in the Biden administration yet. And I was watching the speech of Anthony Blinken this morning with Netanyahu. He didn't say a word about Iran.
Nothing about the $6 billion that they gave him, right? Or the arms that they gave him through Afghanistan.
Through Afghanistan.
And yeah.
Whether they say, okay, we're taking this turn, we learned our lesson, we're going to embrace the Abraham Accords and put the pedal to the metal on the Abraham Accords. Or they say, no, the only hope we have is to go back to the JPOC, I can't remember the last letter. The agreement with Iran that actually funded
JCPOA, JCPOA, right?
Exactly. That funds the way for Iran to have a nuclear capability and funds them with our money.
Well, you know, and we should be doing, honestly, the same thing with China. We, you know, people don't realize the amount of economic weight that we still carry with China if we would just use the sanctions like President Trump was beginning to do. Xi Jinping is in trouble over there. Their economy is in trouble. Nansu and I had a good conversation about that from the Epoch Times, about the financial peril that CCP is in. We could crush Russia, China, and Iran in an instant if we just basically said sanctions to the hilt, we're not doing anything with you, and then start harvesting what's here in our country. All sitting in the ground. Everything we need to do, what we need to do, is sitting in the ground in the United States, and we've let these phony climate hoax people convince everybody to turn off the spigot.
Because global warming is a socialist Trojan horse, which allows the administrative state, the EPA, to go into your house, Greg, and tell you what thermostat you can have, what light bulbs you can have, and what you can't have, and what temperature you have to be at, right? And if you're a degree over or under.
I have an answer for that. I have an answer for that.
Let's go back a second, Greg, because not many people in your audience, I think, know, and it is a part, again, of Shadows of the Acropolis. The Clintons created China. The Clinton appeasement of China created China. They gave them the technology
right
that now inhabits their military.
Oh.
They gave them wherewithal to sell their crappy products all over the earth because they gave them most favored nation status.
They moved them into the Lincoln Room, folks. They literally put a bed in the Lincoln Room specifically for the Chinese, and they moved them into the Lincoln Room. And then Clinton had the audacity to point back at Nixon, who was actually working to shift them out of communism and to work with the people over there, the dissidents over there, to create an open capitalistic economy. But Clinton said, "Oh, well, look, it's Nixon. No, Clinton was the problem. He was just so busy with all of his interns that, you know, it was he couldn't see his.
There's a very basic truth there. The Democrats give tyrannies the means of succeeding. They really do. Yeah. Everywhere around the globe, they give them the means to succeed. Yeah. They want to buy oil from Venezuela now and prop up that tyrannical, murderous, calls himself a president. They give them terms by which they can succeed.
Yeah.
They allow communist China to become a very efficient, very wealthy tyranny.
100%. RichardCLyons.com is the website. Real quick, final minute, plug three of your books that you'd like people to...
If you're interested in what's going on in Israel and why, read But by the Chance of War. If you're interested in the founding of our country and how it was founded and why, read The DNA of Democracy. If you want to read about the last 100 years and our national shift away from our Constitution and what that means, it means where we are today. But that's The Shadows of the Acropolis.
RichardCLyons.com. Be sure and get over there today and peruse that, peruse the articles that he's writing as well, and get signed up at his website as well, and he'll send you out the information that you need. Richard, thanks for being with us today. I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Greg, it was a great joy. Good to be in Texas.
There you go. Amen. Amen. All right. Hang tight. We're going to take our break. We'll be back. Chris Gates joins me coming up hour number two. And we will get into more great conversation coming up on the other side. And don't forget, we'll be talking about the Speaker of the House, by the way, coming up next. Don't forget, Dr. David Wormser joins me live from Tel Aviv coming up at the bottom of this next hour. I'll be back. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.